Hello, everyone.
Hello.
I just wanted to make sure that everybody was awake. It's after lunch, you know. You're kind of going. Yes. Okay, so I'm going to be talking about Bronx Thunder program that our my colleague Marnie talked about earlier, how the youth created the program. I'm going to talk about the whole workshop or the internship component of that program and how that really brings out the aha moments. It's like when you're sitting there at the end and you kind of really look at the, how do you look at the program efficacy when you're doing all this intervention other than the quantitative evaluations, but when you really see youth do something incredible and really take really a message home, and then you sit there and you kind of go, aha, they got it, you know. So that's why I kind of wanted to name this as the aha moments. How do you really know about the aha moments? How do you really measure it? How do you really reach it? What's the process? So in that process, I'm going to tell you about the whole, how we conduct these workshops and how do we conduct this program. Okay, so what is Bronx Thunder? As Mani has already told you, it's a product of a youth-led CBPR initiative that focused on reducing mental health disparities for Bronx adolescent youth. So it has three components. There are 14-session Universal Youth Development Program, which focuses on building social and communication skills and educates about mental health and stigma. The internship part of it includes the youth peer education workshops, which I'm going to talk more in detail about what they are, and also the service component of it, in which we provide the individual cognitive behavioral therapy available for those with mental health problems or issues or needs. Okay. And I just want to also add over here, the key to these programs is the availability of three trainers at every intervention session. So in every session that we provide, so all of these 14 sessions are held, and there are always three trainers in the room. The two trainers are the lead trainers, and one of them is always a mental health professional, so who can provide and can assess the mental health needs for any of the children involved in the program. And the third trainer that we have is more for quality assurance for us, who kind of looks at and makes notes of each and everything that is happening in the room. So how much youth are engaged, how well the lead trainers are working together, and how well they're able to relate to the teens, and how well the whole process is going. So they focus that, and they take very detailed notes on each and every activity. So, oh, when you were explaining this, the kids were not interested, or the kids were so engaged in this activity, or not that. So we do very detailed analysis and qualitative detailed note-taking for each and every session that we do. So the foundation of Bronx Thunder is obviously, as Marnie talked about, youth development. Both we work towards building both internal and external assets. But from the research and from all the community programs that support and provide youth development, we found out that there were 9 features that were very, very needed and very important for positive development of youth. And those are providing the physical and psychological safety in the group, providing very good limit setting, very clear and consistent rules, and having predictability of the same, you know, trainers being there and it's held at the same time, same place, so having some predictability in that, and also accountability. So if a child doesn't show up for one of the sessions, we do call them and ask them, what happened? Why didn't you show up? We remind them before each and every session to come for the session and participate in the session. So all the trainers are always there. We never miss any of our sessions, unless it's a, you know, do or die kind of a situation. We never miss any sessions. Also providing a very supportive relationship and connectedness within the group. Opportunities for inclusion for everybody, for learning, for skill building. We also have very clear behavioral expectations, like what is, and the group normally sets up those norms as to what are the expectations for every participant in the group in the first session, and very positive social norms, and we support for efficacy, and we instill responsibility in all the youth that are involved in the program. So those are the conditions that are required for any intervention to really succeed that focuses on positive youth development. Now, in terms of Bronx Thunder, we create the optimum development opportunities for youth to learn in the sessions during the curriculum, and we have internships. So because the youth hold the internship part of it, and they hold the workshop of whatever they have learned through the curriculum in the internship. So we create a very safe environment for them, which has very clear boundaries, and we have rules, we have social norms, and we have very specific expectations as to whoever is participating has to adhere to those. So for anybody who does not attend at least 10 out of 14 sessions is not allowed to participate in the workshop part of it. So they have to attend at least 10 out of 14 sessions to participate. So there are very, very clear expectations that we make sure that we reinforce at every session. So from the beginning till end, we do that. And mental health clinicians are the trainers, so it also helps and builds familiarity and trust to improve engaging in individual cognitive behavioral therapy. So a lot of the time, we do so many informal therapy sessions, right, before we start the intervention or after we finish the intervention. One of the kids said, Rosie, I wanted to talk to you about something. And then they would take me to a side, and lo and behold, for half an hour, we are talking about something that's bothering them. Or then we say, always say, okay, let's set up some time for you to come and talk to me when it's important for you. So we do that all the time. And the interventions are at community sites where youth are already connected and comfortable. So we have 3 and 4 different community sites that we've been doing this program in. We are doing it at an alternative high school. So we see provide intervention as well as therapy on the site itself. We are also doing it at community sites where children hang out in the evening. So we do the program in the evenings. We also do it in high schools as an after-school program. So students are there. They know the rooms. They know the place. They feel comfortable, they feel satisfied, they feel that they're safe in that environment. So that's one of the things. And also we work with the staff at the community sites as supporting trainers with the goal of sustainability. So we always invite one of the staff members to be participating as a third trainer or as an observer for us in the group so that they can learn the program. So they could be the second trainer with us or they could be the third trainer within the room with us. But it's a closed group, so there are only 3 trainers. So either all 3 are from our staff or one of them is from the local place so that they can learn about the program. That way, if once we are done with the program in that place, the program can still go on because somebody else from the site and the staff has learned it. Also, Bronx and the internship part is where the youth actually see their competencies at work. They utilize their leadership skills and experience effective communications as peer educators. So the whole premise of this program is we train them to be the peer educators about mental health and stigma. So youth learn to incorporate their experiential knowledge and learn skills into designing and facilitating workshops for their peers. They are usually half an hour to 45 minutes in length. And trainers take a coaching role and youth become the lead trainers in this segment. So and that's the time when we from the floor go down and sit in the background and here are the youth who are really putting together a workshop for their peers. And at that time they get to invite their friends or whichever staff, whatever they wanted. So in many settings we have had our group present 3 or 4 workshops. So at one of the places they actually chose their staff teachers to come down and learn about the stress that teenagers face and how difficult the teachers are to these students. Because this was at one alternative high school and the kids are coming from all over the city. So they're changing 2 buses, a train and getting to school in the morning and they're 10 minutes late. Because sometimes the buses run late and the teachers give them a very hard time. So here are the students saying, I have to take care of my father who's a diabetic, bedridden, and then make sure that he's taken care of for the day, then take 2 buses, then take the train to get here, and I'm 5 minutes late and you're giving me a hard time that I can't be sitting in the class. So that brings a lot more stress to the students. And other students agreed that these were kind of things that they were all dealing with, and it was very hard for them to really maintain their schoolwork at times. So they created a workshop for their teachers so that their teachers could learn how much stress youth and teenagers are under and how well they can be helped and how they should be helped in order to do their best in the school, which I thought was very amazing. The teachers loved it too. And so participants plan workshop. The goal is to educate their community. And now this is where the teens define their community. Like I said, they define their community as their teachers. They could also invite their parents as a community where they want to have a workshop for their parents where they talk about how difficult it is for teenagers to work in the relationship or family issues and really work on their studies at the same time or apply for colleges and all the issues that they're dealing with. So they can adapt any of the activities, learn skills, lesson plans, handouts, role plays from any of the sessions that we do. And they're like filmmakers at this point. This is how I see them. They have to write a story. So they write it up and they really write screenplays and then they plan the whole setting. They choose their actors and then play it out in front of the audience. So if there are 15 people in a group, everybody has to participate. That's one of the rules for the workshop. So the group has to participate together. So they choose different roles and then they participate in those workshops. They check in with their audience to understand if the message regarding mental health issues is coming across. So whatever their message is from that workshop, they want to make sure that their audience are getting it. So at every level, as a coach as a coach trainer for them, you have to tell them, okay, now ask them if they understand this part or what part they don't understand, and really get their peers to participate in those workshops with them. So the process of reaching the aha moments, so the trainers look at the learning and the ownership of the workshops with the skills of the individual participants and the group as a whole. There was like one kid in this one of the groups that I did just last semester, and she was very quiet and she did not participate much in the class, though she never missed any session. She would do all the evaluations very well. She was there and I could see that she get it, but it was very hard for me to assess what she was getting from the program or not. And lo and behold, when it came to the workshop, she became the lead character of the workshop. I was so amazed, and this girl talked her head off throughout the workshop. So at that point, that was like, oh my gosh, she was getting everything I was teaching in the group. So that was like really the aha moment for me and the aha moment for the girls to be able to do that in the workshop and really learn that. So we really assess which aspects of the program or the learned skills in the program they utilize for their workshop. Because we are sitting in the audience at that point, so we can really look at, so oh, they use this skill, they use that skill, or they're teaching this part of it, or they're teaching that part of it. So we take very detailed qualitative notes for that. It's a demonstration of how and who takes the leadership role in that group, which is very amazing. Like I said, this is a child who always sat at the back, quiet, and all of a sudden she was the leader in the workshop. They also, how they use problem solving ability to make decisions, because that is one of the very important skills we teach them. How do you work with the groups and how do you reach those decisions and how do you really problem solve together? How effectively they manage their time to practice and to be ready for the presentation, because they just have two sessions in between to practice and plan. And how they are able to engage their audience and assess their interaction. So we take very detailed qualitative notes on each and every part of this. Now, the aha moments are when the big aha moment really is when the workshops are being conducted for both. A lot of the time, the kids do it and they come back and say, I did it! I really got it! Now I understand what you were talking about. So this is how they really get. And it's the realization that the youth learned, retained, and were able to effectively demonstrate the skills that they learned from intervention and made it their own. So those are the aha moments. We do have the qualitative data to analyze, and I've already talked about most of this. So hopefully by next APHA, I would probably have a formal quantitative evaluation. This is an idea in work, so I could really present how we really evaluate these workshops. Okay. Thank you. And I do not have any relationship disclosure.